The following program contains the opinions of the host, guests, and call-in participants. These do not necessarily represent the views of this show's distributors or sponsors. This program may contain obscene, profane, or otherwise objectionable language. Viewer discretion is advised. Yes, coming to you cordless, everybody. It's Tuesday, January 2nd, 2024, and you're still hungover, aren't you? And it's 11:02 p.m. on the East Coast of the United States, 8:02 p.m. on the West Coast, 2:02 in the afternoon at Sydney, Australia, and 10:02 p.m. here where I'm sitting in Northeast Minneapolis. And welcome to this, another edition of Jim Peters at Night. I'm Jim Peters. I think this is show 66. Once again, I forgot to check. So I hope you're all having a good evening tonight. Not many people watch this live. I know that. We get way more viewers. 90% of the people watch this show watch on demand. Okay, fine. That's fine. But we still take calls. And I got an announcement to make about that in just a second. First of all, I want to acknowledge our sponsor, Konk.com. Konk News is the new sponsor of this show. It's the best single news aggregator on the planet, period. And I'm serious. I can't stress this enough. You go to conk.com and you check this out. They're our exclusive sponsor, and we're happy as hell to have them. Couldn't come up with a better fit for this show. After the show's done, or even if you're on your phone right now, go there and look at this. You'll never get your news from anywhere else. So that's what we got going on there. Hold on. A lot of buttons to push. I'm such a dork. Okay, so tonight, it's Monologue Tuesday. It's usually going to be Monologue Monday. We made two announcements in our show last night. First announcement was our exclusive sponsorship now from Konk News. Second announcement is that we're not taking guests on Mondays at all. But today is not a Monday. Yesterday was not a normal show. It was basically just to announce this new sponsorship and a couple of things that we got going on this coming year. We didn't discuss the news. This is really our first show of the year, even though we did a show yesterday. Got that? Okay. So on Mondays now, or actually the first day of our week, we're not booking guests at all. We're not going to. The reason, there's too much news that happens during the 3-day weekend. And someday in cases, like for example, next week, I have to take Monday off. A 4-day weekend, there's too much news to plow through, and I like doing a solo show every now and then, so that's when we're going to do it. It's really amazing. When we started this, I thought we might not have guests on Thursdays because I thought, well, we'll use Thursdays as a call-in show, and people can call in whatever they want. Now it's this show. It's Monday, or today's Tuesday.
It's
the first show of the week, okay? So this is it. So if you want to call in, there's a telephone number at the bottom of the screen here. You see this? Well, actually, it's a URL right here, jimandnight.com/call. Now, the way we take video phone calls here, this is the first show, talk show in America, to take video phone calls, apparently. A Talkers magazine said that. They know, and we believe them, and we think we are too. We looked around. We checked. That wasn't our intention. We were surprised nobody else was doing it, but we're the first people to do it. So we're taking a video phone call. So to make a video phone call, this is what you got to do. You go to that URL, that webpage. There's a giant big blue button at the top of the screen. You press it. You're in our virtual green room. You check your camera and mic. You push the join button at the bottom, and you end up in the queue. It's simple. It's even simpler than doing FaceTime. Seriously, it is. You just push a couple buttons. That's it. That's all you have to do. Click on a couple buttons, and you're in the queue, and we queue you up, and I'll put you on the air. Okay? So that's the thing. Now, we're doing another thing tonight, too. I got another announcement, too. For the first time ever, and this should be a continuous thing, I'm now reading text messages in real time while we're doing the show. Now, I'm not... So I'm not on the chat room at in Rumble or YouTube or any of the places or Trovo, wherever we have. I'm not on those chat rooms. You see the other number here, text voicemail, 408-458-5088. You text me a message at that number, and I can read. I'm reading it in real time. I got a monitor off to the side here, so I got to turn my head to read it. Big freaking deal, huh? No, it doesn't matter. So we're going to do this now. But like I said, it's not the localized chat rooms on the various platforms. It's this number only, okay? So 408-458-5088. You text me a message to that number. You can also leave me a 30-second voicemail, too, but I won't get those after the show is done. And a few people do that, and that's cool. That's fine. But I won't listen to them. But now I'm going to read these text messages while we're on the air. So especially on a day-to-day, Monologue Tuesday, when we don't have a guest. So normally if we have guests going, well, first of all, a lot of times we pre-tape the guest interviews in the afternoon, so then obviously I'm not checking any text messages during that, but I don't really want to be distracted while interviewing somebody, especially we have a lot of big-time guests on this show, and they're long interviews, so I don't want to be distracted, so I don't know if I'm going to read the text messages while those things are on the air, although it might be cool if you have a question for our guest, it'd be better for you to text it in than to call in, that's for sure. So, if you want to send me a text message, you go right ahead, 408-458-5088. That's our other announcement today. I did not make that announcement last night because we had too many announcements to make. So no guests tonight. What happens tomorrow? Okay, so we're a little late. Santa Claus is going to be here. And we're checking in on Santa Claus. We came to the realization before Christmas. Now, first of all, Santa was supposed to come on our last show before Christmas. He had a personal problem. He could not do that. And it was very, very legitimate. And so we had no trouble forgiving him for this at all. But the thing is, we even decided even before then that we should check in on Santa to see what he's doing during the rest of the year. Everyone always checks on Santa the week of Christmas. Well, you know, okay, so the whole Christmas run is done. So we're going to check in with Santa tomorrow to see how that went and how he's doing. And we might check in on Santa in March and July, too. Okay, you got that? Because no one ever talks to Santa in any other times of the year. So we thought that might be a good idea. You know, that would be kind of like a running bit. You know what I mean? Okay? All right? Thursday, Jeff Meyer, the CEO of Kong News, is here. And, you know, they're our latest sponsor. So he will be joining us on the first week of every month, usually on a Wednesday. This week, because we did not do a show on Tuesday, it will be on Thursday. So he's joining us on Thursday. Next Monday, we do not have a show. We're taking the Monday off. So once again, it'll be Monologue Tuesday. Now, for the rest of the month, with the exception of one day, we have guests booked up for the whole rest of the month. I know. It's like I actually got my shit together. Who would have known it? So, yeah. So, and we have some really great guests coming. Stan Gordon, the UFO researcher, he's coming on. Ed Morrissey, the editor, the chief editor of hotair.com, he's coming on. I think that's the 23rd. I'm not sure. We got a guy named Albert Rosales. He's coming on. He has written, 18 books documenting. He's not really documenting alien abductions. He's documenting what he calls humanoid creatures. So some of them land in spaceships, but some of them are just seen out in the woods, like Bigfoot, but not like Bigfoot. You know, there's an amazing number of people in the United States who have reported seeing basically large winged humanoids. Now, if you know anything about the Mothman thing that happened in Point Pleasant, Virginia in the 1960s, you know, so what those people saw supposedly was a very large human-like figure, like 6-7 feet tall, but it had wings, and it flew. And it's amazing how many people have reported something like this, you know. We're going to do UFO news later on, or paranormal news, and I have a couple of thoughts on that based on a couple of things I've read recently. It is amazing how many. Anyway, this guy's name is Albert Rosales. He's written 18 books on this, if I'm right. Maybe I've got that figure wrong, but it's well over a dozen. And he's going to come on. He's going to talk about. He's been researching this for like 20 or 25 years. It is amazing the number of people who report this stuff. Now, I bought him, and I'm reading his latest book, which is on it's on the sightings from 20 to 2015. He's done sightings all the way literally back to year zero. He's written books on this. And obviously, those people did not report to him. But and he's also said this is the last book he's going to write. He's not going forward from 2015 at all. He says he's been doing this long enough, and he has another book out on UFOs, but not this subject. He's still going to kind of pursue this sort of thing. Anyway, he's fascinating. That's going to be fascinating. And let me see, who else do we have on? This is off the top of my head. Jazz Shaw's coming back, speaking of UFOs. He's coming back next week, I think next Thursday, from hotair.com, the weekend editor there. I call him my brother from another mother because he's the only person I know on the entire planet whose beat as a reporter revolves around conservative news analysis and UFOs. And, I should be sleeping with him somewhere in some alternative universe or something. I don't know. Anyway, okay, so that's what we got going on here today. So let me tell you what's going on, what happened in the news today, or basically what happened over the last, we did a show last night, but other than that, if you discount that show, I think we've been off like 11 or 12 days or something like that. Well, first of all, the thing that happened today, you've probably heard about this, Claudine Gay, the president of Harvard, has resigned. She's not going to, I was going to say she's not going to be there anymore, but actually I have to parse this very carefully. She's not going to be there as president. She is going to keep her faculty position, and this is the thing that really, actually, that pisses me off more than this whole anti-Semitic thing. I don't want to belabor that or belittle it at all, but still. Okay, so this whole thing started when she got up in front of Congress and said, as an idiot, she said that anti-Semitic comments at Harvard were only going to be considered in context, and so Elise Stefanik asked her, well, if people are calling for the death of Jews, is that in context? And she said, well, yeah, we have to consider that in context. Okay, fine. So, blah, 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 And of course, the thing is, it's so hypocritical because we all know that if you're conservative on campus, you'll be kicked out in 30 fucking seconds. And this is actually my point about this whole thing with her resigning, and that is she is still this guy kind of got lost in the news. It did get reported, but it's kind of lost in the whole discussion. She is keeping her faculty position at Harvard. I think she was teaching journalism, which that's hilarious. I'm not sure about that. But the thing is, the real problem is that this woman, it's not that she plagiarized some works. She's a serial plagiarizer. She's been caught copying whole pages out of other people's dissertations and articles for her own. I mean, pages, like copy and paste, It's like, hell, if Joe Biden can do it, I can do it, And so, no student at Harvard could get away with doing this for a second. I mean, first of all, you would never even get as far as she did. You couldn't even plagiarize that. You'd be stopped and kicked out before you could even copy five pages in a row. You'd be gone. And yet they're keeping her and then she said something that I don't write this stuff down and I should. I do this show off the top of my head. You guys know this. So, I got a little outline here. She said something to the effect that she's been striving her entire career to keep high journalistic standards. That's bullshit. That's complete, utter bullshit. Just like I said, any student who'd done even a fraction of what she's done would be kicked out of Harvard. And, she got kicked out of the presidency, but she's still going to be teaching there. I mean, this is an abomination. And then, of course, on top of all that, she's claimed racism. And Al Sharpton, bless his heart, has to jump on the pile, and he's claiming racism, too. He said, this woman broke the glass ceiling, and any black woman who's ever done the same thing, shut up. Shut the fuck up. It's like, my God, the woman's a serial plagiarizer. And like I said, in the grand scheme of crimes, I actually think that's way, way worse as a professor than saying I can tolerate people saying they want to kill Jews. And I'm not tolerating that personally. I don't want to be misunderstood here. That's terrible. It's absolutely terrible. And I'm glad I'm glad for that alone. She should have resigned. She should be kicked out, and she was. But the fact is that she's still there. She has not been kicked out of Harvard. She's still there. What the F? I mean, I don't have to tell you this. If she was a conservative professor, she'd be gone in 30 freaking seconds. There's no another way to get around that. The hypocrisy is just stinking. I mean, I think David Strom wrote about this a couple days ago, about the fact he said that at this point, the people on the left aren't even trying to cover their hypocrisy. They don't even care if anyone notices anymore. They do not care. They know their attitude is they're in power here, and they know what's going on, and they're just going to plow forward, you know? It's like, and speaking of that, it turned out today, the final figure came out that 300,000, there were 300,000 migrant encounters by the Border Patrol in Texas in December. That's not for the year, not for 2023, just December. So far, and that doesn't count the people that snuck over the border and never talked to an agent, the people who actually truly got in clandestinely. You know, I mean, technically, these people, if you stop and, you know, and you register with the agents, you're technically not illegal. You're not a citizen or even a resident, but you've at least checked in. You started the process, technically. But that's 300,000 people who just came here and got in. That doesn't count the people who did not bother to check in at all. So, at this point, from what I understand, since Biden took office, 8 million people have come into the country illegally. 8 million. And that's well over 2% of the entire U.S. population. Now, that may not sound like much in relatively speaking. It's enormous. We increased the population of the United States by 2%. Now, all right, like I said, technically, they're not citizens. You know, we did not. But there's 2% more people living here than there were 3 years ago. That's huge. And, of course, you know, who are we fooling? The plan of the leftists is to sooner or later give all these people the right to vote. And so they will end up increasing, 90% of them will vote Democratic, and they will end up increasing the voter rolls, their constituency by 2%. And as close as elections have been now, that could be the difference. So, those of you who had a good New Year's, I hope you did. You know, I hope you went out party. I hope you didn't get hurt, you know, anything like that. In France, they called it a success because they're home. I'm not making this up. They had a successful New Year because only 745 vehicles were set on fire in the country. Only 745. It was way worse last year. Why are we tolerating this shit? Why? It's like, you know, like people are setting cars on fire, and oh well, look at that. It's really not that bad. Oh my God. Meanwhile, at the New York Times, Taylor Lorenz, I know there's a reporter there. I don't know if you know her. She's like the most obnoxious little fucking Gen Zer on the planet. She skipped Christmas with her relatives for the fourth year in a row because her relatives refused to wear masks. Now, I have noticed this I do the shopping for my family, the grocery shopping, and I kind of enjoy it. I mean, let me put it this way. It doesn't bother me. That's a better way to put it. I like getting out. I'm sitting on my ass all day long. It's like, you know, so I enjoy actually getting out and moving around, and I'm going out and shopping shit. So I've noticed here in Minneapolis, in Northeast, we have the Quarry, our giant outdoor shopping mall here in Northeast, and I've noticed more and more people wearing masks. I didn't notice yesterday, no, a couple days ago, last week I noticed a couple in their car in front of the Cub Foods, the grocery store, at the Quarry. They're in the car alone. They're both wearing masks. They're obvious, you know. It's like I'm making an assumption here that they're married, and I think that would be pretty good. They look like they were in their 60s, maybe in their 70s. They're both wearing masks, and I know what happened here. The woman talked her husband into doing it. You know, that's usually the way this works. You know, if you don't put your mask on, I'm not going to let you in the car. Oh, shut up. And I'm astonished in retrospect. I got to tell you, I'm astonished by how political the mask thing became. I just assumed that once this was over, and this is a more important point, it was determined that the masks were useless for this particular COVID virus, and they are. Every single study has either been inconclusive or shown that they don't work. There's not a single study I'm aware of, and I spent about 2-3 years working on this very, very carefully. When I was the editor of Kong News, we tracked this very carefully, and I don't know of a single study that said, well, there's a few studies that said the masks might be minimally helpful, like 1 or 2%, you know, virtually not at all. But there's a whole bunch of them that said the masks were useless. And apparently it's a cut and dried thing. The COVID virus is small enough so that the masks can't filter them out. Simple. They don't work. And on top of that, most people aren't wearing legitimate masks. You know, you put that bandana over your face, like that's going to help. No, it's not going to help. You're wasting your time and everybody's time. And I assumed that when this was like over, and there's still people saying, well, it's not over. It's not over. Shut the fuck up. It's like, I've said this before. 40,000 people in America die of the flu every year. 40,000. Now, I didn't prepare this, but let me see. How does this work? We were like 2-3 years into the COVID scare when finally the COVID deaths caught up to the flu deaths per annum. And I know that sounds amazing, but the thing is, it's true. In 2018, we had the highest rate of flu deaths ever. That was 80,000. 80,000 people died of the flu. So, and the thing is, we were on track in the United States for up until toward the, we, the COVID, excuse me, let me get my shit together here. The COVID scare, we ended up over the two and a half year period, we'd had slightly more than 80,000 people. I think it was around 95,000 or 100,000 people died of COVID. And unfortunately, because our government is so damn corrupt, they were probably overcounted. But my point is, people die of all sorts of shit. You know? And the thing with COVID, and this, and so at Kong News, I set the starting point from Saturday, March 10th, 2020. That's basically when the lockdown started, that weekend, okay? So we started tracking COVID deaths and illnesses using two methods, the CDC website and the state of Minnesota website. That's what we were using. We're here in Minneapolis, right? This is starting the second weekend in March. By late April, about not even 8 weeks later, it was plainly obvious that the only people who were really in harm from this were people who were old and sick. Not old or sick, old and sick. Those are the people that were dying, and they were dying in droves. I mean, so the thing is, I said, the thing about the whole COVID thing is that it depended on your health and your age. And this is the way it worked. If you were over 70, you were nuts not to get vaccinated. Even if the vaccines didn't work, or even if they were harmful, COVID was after you. That's all there was to it. You had a huge chance of getting really sick or dying from COVID. If you were between 50 and 70, it was a toss-up. It depended on all sorts of shit. Your health, your susceptibility to illness, all sorts of crap like that. If you were under 50, there was no pandemic. It was all bullshit. And if you were under 20, the vaccines were way, way more harmful than they were good. That's the terrible thing. We injected our children with basically poison. The children, young people were not at danger to this at all. I think, if I'm correct, I think of all those 80, 90,000 people who died of COVID, I think less than 300 of them were under 20, I think. It was a statistical anomaly. Getting back to this thing, Taylor Lorenz is this reporter. She's apparently a reporter. I don't know. She's an activist reporter. They all are now, aren't they? So she wouldn't go to her family Christmas party because they refused to wear masks. It's just complete crap. I thought we would come out of this and people would go, oh, we're back to normal again. So some people don't want to get back to normal. They don't. They don't want to get back to normal. And here's the deal. I know there's a few people, because I have a friend of mine who qualifies for this, who she has a very severe autoimmune disorder. So she wears masks anyway a lot of the time. And she did even before COVID. So that's the, it's easy to go out and stereotype, and I just did, this couple in this car, you know. But the thing is, you can almost, and I hate to say it, it's mostly women. You go out, you see women wearing masks all over the place. And it's easy for me to be sexist, and so I'll be sexist now. I'll be a misogynist pig. I'll just say this, that my experience after being alive 68 years is that women are way, way more afraid of things than men are. Way more. I mean, it's matter of fact, it's endemic. I'm making a grand generalization here. Obviously, not all women are. You know, and not all men are not afraid, that's for sure. But still, I'm making a generalization. And you go out, in my neck of the woods here in Minnesota, you go out, and if you see people wearing masks, 95% of the time, it's women, not men. And usually, when it is men, they're with women. They're with women wearing masks. So I thought we'd all go back to normal, you know? But it's become a political statement. It has. And also, it just goes to show the fear of some people in the populace. And is it my job to stop these people on the sidewalk and at the mall and say, look, that isn't helping. You're wasting your time and your money if you're buying these things. And, I'll be called a Philistine or, a denier or something. I could also stop people and say, climate change is complete bullshit, and they'll tell me I'm nuts. It's only a matter of time before there are people on YouTube telling me I'm crazy. We've already been flagged twice. I didn't even mention this when Mark Morano was on our show about December 19th, I think. We got flagged by YouTube for the second time for climate change misinformation. Of course, we're wrong. Of course we are. Stupid assholes. But I want to talk this thing about Taylor Lorenz made me think about this. It's like, what happened to journalism? Now, we've talked about this on the show. It's a continuing topic. And David Strom comes on here, and Jazz Shaw, and these journalists that come on regular, Mark Tapscott, we bitch about this. But we have a whole class of people now who think it's their job to tell the public how to think. And it's disgusting. And excuse me for a second. Journalism has become like Hollywood. So let me tell you about Hollywood, because this is what you don't know. This is what no one will ever admit to you, and that is dramatic film acting takes no talent whatsoever. I don't care what you think. I don't care what you've done. I don't care how many productions you're a lead in high school. I'm not talking about stage acting. I'm not talking about comedic acting. I'm talking about dramatic film acting. It takes no talent. Here's case in point. One of my cousins is a very famous assistant director in Hollywood. This woman has worked on a ton of Oscar-nominated films. I mean, and let me tell you something about assistant directors. They don't direct. If you, you know, I'm astonished how many people go to movies regularly and have absolutely no clue how they're made. None. Matter of fact, a friend of mine sees more movies than anybody I know, and he has no clue on how they're made. I mean, I just find this amazing. You'd think you'd be curious after a while, but whatever. So anyway, my cousin is assistant director. Assistant directors don't direct. They do all the grunt work for the director. In other words, it's mostly a logistical position. You're in charge of schedules. You're in charge of making certain the actors show up and they're sober and they know their lines. You're in charge of props and sets and all that stuff. They take care of all those details to let the director actually direct. Got it? As a matter of fact, it's to the point where, I mean, if I'm right, my cousin has never directed a scene in her entire life. Even if they need another director, they call in what's called a second, second crew director. So she doesn't direct, but she takes care of all the stuff. But it's an extremely crucial job, and she's very good at it. She's been very, very well paid. So she tells me, she said, Jim, we have this down to such a science now that we can, I swear to God, she actually told me this, we can pick somebody off the street at random, and as long as they're sane enough to follow directions, we can make them look like an acting genius on the screen. And I know that's true. I know it is. I haven't done a lot of acting, but I've done enough. I've had some minor parts in some films and stuff to know how this works, and I know that's true. Because the caveat to that is comedic film acting takes an enormous amount of real talent. And I don't know if you've noticed, you pay attention to all the dramatic film actors who've tried to go into comedy and have failed. Sylvester Stallone, you know, I mean, I could name a whole bunch of them, you know, because the thing is, comedic film acting takes real, true talent, and not everybody can do it. And that's one of the reasons, you know, you got a guy like Steve Carell. Once you've proved you can do it, you get hired over and over again. Whereas dramatic film actors, they're a dime a dozen. I'm fascinated by, I did not see this movie because I'm not the least bit interested in the Marvels, which really, really tanked. Apparently it's had the worst box office of any Marvel Cinematic Universe movie ever. But people make fun of Brie Larson because, she's a very, very attractive woman. And she seems to be competent on the screen. She can do the job. But beyond that, what's going on there? Nothing. It's like, no. And the real amazing thing is that, first of all, I know this because I was in classical music. You know, half of all orchestra conductors are charlatans. And I know for a fact, too, that half of all film directors are charlatans, too. They're basically fakes. They can't do it, you know, which is the reason you end up with so many mediocre and bad films. You know, Jay Leno pointed that out years ago. He said, you know, if television ran the way the movie business ran, the networks would be bankrupt. And they would, because there's so much money that's thrown into movies that end up failing, but they can't do that on TV because there's a whole infrastructure of network that has to be maintained, and so they only hire people that they absolutely positively know can do the job. And even then, people fail. But still, you know, at least you get competent, you know, work. So the reason I brought all that up is this, and that is journalism has become the same way. These people who get out of journalism school would like to let you think there's some great dark art to doing this. There isn't. It's all bullshit. No, it does take a lot of legwork. I mean, if you're going to do it right, it takes a lot of work. I'm not saying it doesn't take a lot of work, but there's no magic to it. You don't need a lot of talent. There's a guy named Sid Hartman that wrote sports for the Star Tribune here in Minneapolis, and he literally worked until he died, and he died at 100. No freaking lie, he was 100 years old, and still going around. He was a terrible writer in terms of putting words together, awful. But he was fantastic at getting information, and that's the reason he lasted. He was literally a reporter for the Star Tribune for 70 years in the sports business. And he had very idiosyncratic, he ended up doing radio shows and all that sort of stuff. But he was a terrible writer. He couldn't write to save his life, but he was really, really good at getting information. And of course, you know, if you're a reporter, that's what you want to do. And that takes a lot of work and a lot of time, but there's no magic to it. I mean, the things, all the, one of the problems we have right now, and no one in the journalism business wants to address this, and that is we have way more people chasing journalism than we actually need. So think about this. 50 years ago, every single paper in a city in the United States of any size had at least one newspaper. And for most people, other than the three nightly network news broadcasts that were half an hour each, other than that, they got their, and maybe some radio, and that was Paul Harvey mostly. And I don't know if you guys know who he was, but he was a phenomenon in himself. He did like the noon news all across the United States out of Chicago for like a million years. But other than that, most people got their news from the newspaper. So any town of any size, any city had one and maybe two, you know, other, well, you get to New York and Chicago, maybe three, you know, but still, I mean, I grew up in a town, the town I grew up in was supposedly the smallest city in the United States that had a real legitimate daily newspaper, not like a, you know, mimeographed. I mean, a real paper that came out 6 days a week. And we had only 16,000 people in our town. So, all right, why did I bring that up? you like watching this show? It's kind of like an adventure, isn't it? What is he going to say next? And can he string his thoughts together? Can he do that? I brought that up because, all right, hold on, wait for it. I brought that up because that's where people got their news. And, oh, this is why I brought that up, is because you got all your news from the newspaper, including national news, international news. And the thing is, because you couldn't generally, as a general rule, unless you're in a major metropolitan area, you couldn't see any other newspaper, that's where you got all your news from. So now all these newspapers, they all went online, all of them, okay? So the other than the local news for that locale, any news you're looking at in any paper, you can get in any other paper anywhere. You know, the Associated Press was formed to be able to distribute national, international news to local papers. That's the reason it is. And, of course, it still exists. But you don't need any reporters. You know, if you've got a reporter in Davenport, Iowa, writing for the paper there, and you're now the newspaper in Davenport, Iowa is online, you don't need that national news. You can get that from, Wall Street Journal or Epoch Times or something. You know, you can get them from the national newspapers. And so now we have a whole bunch of people who used to be, or still are actually, employed in the newspaper business who frankly aren't necessary because we, you know, other than, like, and then the mirrors are wazing thing is, I never really figure this out. People do not seem to be that interested in local news, which is the very reason you want a local newspaper, you know? Even the talk radio, talk TV business. Well, there's not a lot of local talk TV business. There's some, but not a lot. But there's talk radio. And I got to admit, I don't want to do local talk radio. I don't. I've done it in the past. I don't want to do it. I'm not that interested in local issues. And I'm glad some people are. But my point is, there's way too many journalists employed now. They are, or chasing jobs. I mean, they aren't that necessary. You're on Twitter, you know, X. You either got people from who are employed as journalists or people who want to be employed as journalists. That's what you got. That's basically the whole thing. Believe it or not, now I got to stop and do a commercial. So we're gonna do this commercial at clunk.com here. So nope, that's not what I was gonna do. Here's the website. Well, where's the website? There it is. Thank you. Thank you very much. Okay, so this is the front page of Conk. I'm going to scroll down a little bit here. So what Conk does is it takes news It takes headlines from about 75 different publications, and every 3 hours it arranges them in by roughly by subject and time, and then formats this. It's actually done all automatically. It's done by an algorithm, and it does a fantastic job doing this because you got stuff from, this is Breitbart. You see these little logos here, or you can't because you can't see my cursor. I'm sorry about that. I forgot. But you got 100% Fed Up. You got the National Review. You got, here's Hot Air. You got Hot Air. About 75 different sources. I can't stress this enough. There's no better place on the internet to get news, at least, you know, readable news. Although they do have videos, too. I don't know if you see here in the menu. Once again, I'm pointing with a pointer. You know, I've never done this before. So I told Jeff, I said, you know, you're gonna have to bear with me for a while. I'm gonna fuck this up. So, yeah. Anyway, this is the deal. You know, so it's at CONK.com. Seriously, check that out. It's completely free. You know, it's advertiser supported. As a matter of fact, you have these two right here on the screen right now. You have an ad for Uzu TV and EMP Shield. And actually, we talked about this last night. Uzu TV is seriously cool. I mean, I don't want to be plugging another company in my sponsor's ad here. But, you know, even Jeff goes on about this, too. For $10 a month, you get to watch an enormous amount of TV. It's really incredible. But so, and that's the other thing, too. And Jeff pointed that out last night. He was on to announce this about the fact they have high-quality advertisers. So, you know, this is a cool thing for us because this is a very high quality publication and website and business, and we like to think we're the same. So check this out when you get a chance. That's CONK.com. I don't think you'll regret it. I think you can come back here. You can check this out 5 times a day and the news changes. So that's what we got going on there. So anyway, thanks to them for sponsoring us. And I want to kind of go on to another thing here too. Hold on. I think I made my point with the reporters. We have an overabundance of journalism, and it's and so what do people? And the other thing is, what do people do? Because they need to draw attention to themselves. They write smack. We've gotten to the point now where the easiest way to draw attention to yourselves is to say or write something totally outrageous, and the more outrageous, the better. I refuse to participate. I'm sorry. I just won't. I would like to think at some point people will figure out that what I got going here is legit and honest, and I am not going to do shit just to draw attention. I'm just not going to. I'm sorry. I'm too old. I'm too tired. That's all there is to it. So my hope here is that you will come back to this and you watch this maybe on a daily basis because I can give you a take on the news you won't get anywhere else. That's what I'm hoping. So, with that, I'm going to run a bumper here really quick because when we come back, we got UFO news going. All right. So, this is what happened in the UFO news in the last since we broke 12 days ago. Just before Christmas, I think it was the day before Christmas, or I might be wrong, the day after. Excuse me a second. Congress passed, and the president signed the National Defense Authorization Act, the NDAA. Included in that was something called the UFO Disclosure Act that was included in that bill. At the last minute, several Republicans had most of the guts of that stripped out. It was supposed to account for complete transparency to the American public of anything the government knew about UFOs and, by extension, extraterrestrial life. They were supposed to tell us when and if they found something out. And that got stripped out. It also got stripped out by the president, who had one, you know, the president signs bills. This is a relatively recent phenomenon. They now attach what's called signing statements to them, where they kind of explain why they signed or why they didn't sign, why they vetoed a bill. And one of the things the president said in there is that he was glad that this was stripped out because he said there's too many national security ramifications to telling the public too much about this, which is bullshit. It's total bullshit. I mean, it's basically the reason that they wanted to do it. And when I say they, and I had to give them credit, Chuck Schumer was basically spearheading this. He really, really wanted this in the bill. He fought for this very hard. And the people who were fighting for this, it was pretty much bipartisan. This is not a partisan thing. But it didn't make it. And Chaz Shaw wrote about this, and he wrote about this again today. He wrote about it when it happened a week or so ago. And he's coming on the show next week, so we got a lot to talk to him about. But, it's basically we're back to square one. Now, what I've said in the past, and as far as I can tell, this still holds, and that is that there's a huge internal struggle in the Pentagon on how much to tell the public about this. Also, but however, as I also said, that what's come out is that obviously something exists because people wouldn't fight it so hard. If there's nothing to tell us, nobody would give a crap, right? So in some ways, the not just the internal, but the external struggle is in some ways confirmation of the fact that something exists. Now, what exists is that, I mean, I've said this before, we have crashed extraterrestrial spacecraft. So if they're extraterrestrial spacecraft, that means extraterrestrials exist. Now, the amazing thing is nobody in the government wants to put that together. You know, I said this even last night. Christopher Mellon, the former assistant deputy secretary of state or whatever the hell it is, whatever, he's one of those guys. You know, they have assistants and they have deputies and then they have assistants to the deputies and whoever knows. But he was one of those guys. I mean, he said very famously in an article in the Wall Street Journal about a year ago, he said, the thing is nobody in Washington wants to say the A word, and the A word is aliens, you know? So now, I've been saying for 30 years we have these crashed spacecraft, and the reason I've been saying is because there's government documents that point to it, plenty of them. There's hundreds of them, and nobody in the press wanted to report on this, nobody. And I don't know if they didn't want to touch it because they thought they'd look foolish, or if they're being paid off, and God knows that happens way more, ladies and germs, than you think. That the government pays people off. I mean, who was it? I have to look at this for tomorrow's show because I just caught a glimpse of this today in some cable news show about the fact that there's some former CIA agent who says he's been told by his former colleagues that the CIA is planning on basically rigging the coming election. And the thing is, no one could prove they did it. That they're beyond reproach. These are the same people who I think quite possibly, I don't want to say probably because I'll say allegedly, killed John F. Kennedy. And there's a lot of evidence to suggest that they did. And so they've been doing shit forever, So now he comes on and says that he's been told that they're going to rig the election. Oh, yeah, that's great. That's fantastic. Now, we've had, the thing is, I've gone on about the 2020 election, and I need to go on about this again, because, My evidence is that Joe Biden didn't draw more than, with one exception, didn't draw more than 200 people to any campaign event in the entire time. He still doesn't draw people. He was in Milwaukee just before Christmas. 100 people showed up. I keep track of this shit. I do, because I know, it's like basically, he's the president of the United States. 100 people showed up. And some of those people worked at the factory that he was talking at, that he was giving his speech in. And so they showed up because they were there. They had to. Nobody shows up to hear this guy talk. Nobody. Now, he can't talk. He's frail and elderly. But he's still the president of the United States. For Christ's sake, you'd think somebody would be interested in just showing up to shake his hand, or something. No, nobody is interested in seeing this guy. Nobody has since he started running and even since he's been president. October 2021, 10 months into his presidency, Lancaster, Louisiana. Nobody showed up to see the president. No one. Zero. Big fat zero. And I kept track of that, too. That's why I remember the place on the date. It's like, okay, so, so my point is, you know, like I said, I have no proof that the election is rigged, but that's my evidence. There's evidence. That's enough evidence in my mind to launch an investigation. Nobody agrees with me, but I think so. But here's the deal. There's been evidence in the past, in 2000 and 2004, that the Republicans rigged the elections, the presidential elections. So it's like, not exactly like, I'm not saying the Democrats are, you know, are evil here by doing this, but everybody's evil. Who are we fooling, you know? So, I mean, this has been going on for some time. We know it's basically considered a historically accepted fact now that John Kennedy won the 1960 election by cheating. And he didn't actually do what his father did. But his father paid off people in Cook County, which is Chicago. And that election, to this day, that's still one of the closest elections in American history. He paid off the people in Chicago. And that tipped Illinois, and that tipped the whole election to him. That's how close the electoral count was. One county made a difference. And supposedly Nixon knew that, and he did not contest it. He did not, you know. And there's some evidence that in 2004, Kerry knew he got screwed, and he didn't contest it either. You know, Trump, of course, being a big loudmouth, you know, he gets set up, I got cheated. Yeah, well, yeah, he probably did. That's, you know, so this, there's plenty of evidence this has happened in the past. Plenty. So, why did I bring that up? Something to do with the UFO thing, you know? Where was I going on that? I was talking about the disclosure shit being stripped out of the Defense Act, you know. The thing is, you know, we have our government is famous for not telling us stuff. So there's this struggle going on in the Pentagon about how much to tell the public, and part of it is based on the fact the reason it's a struggle is that technically speaking, there's a lot of people by keeping this secret, and the process of keeping this secret broke the law, and there are people who do not want to go to jail. And I kind of don't blame them, you know. But then again, on the other hand, they broke the law too, you know. Now, currently, the ARRO committee, which stands for the Analogous All Domain Resource Operation, something like that, AARO. They're the people that now try. That's the part of the Pentagon that's now keeping track of the UFOs. Well, in 2021, Congress passed a thing that if you report to ARRO, you are automatically immune from prosecution for anything you did wrong in that arena. So, in other words, like David Grush, he reported to ARRO the fact, you know, as he's gone on, you know, he says we have these crashed spacecraft, we have dead alien bodies, and all this sort of stuff. But because he went through the proper process, apparently he is now immune from any prosecution of anything he did wrong during that process. And that has prompted quite a few people to come forward, apparently. But you're talking about maybe hundreds or thousands of people that have their necks on the line here. So, and also, if you don't have any actual information to parlay, well, then you have no reason to go in front of the committee. You're still not exempt. Anyway, this is going to go on for a while. This is this is an ongoing thing. Okay, point number two. I'm just going to read this. I clipped this from mysteriousuniverse.org. In a recent podcast with UFO researcher Chris Lado, scientist Bob McGuire revealed that he was conducting underwater classified experiments on the USS Hampton submarine in the late 1990s when they encountered an unidentified submerged object that blew, quote, blew by us like we were standing still. Now, this is the amazing thing. This object supposedly was going faster than the speed of sound underwater. They're in a freaking submarine, and this thing went past them at 700 miles an hour. Now, if I'm right, the fastest submarine on Earth only goes about 50 miles an hour, and I think the American subs only go about 40. And you have missiles that maybe go 100, 120 miles an hour underwater. We have nothing that even comes close to that. It went past them at 700 miles an hour. And then I just started, I'm watching Ancient Aliens over the, during the Christmas break. I saw this, just a little detail that I found really, really fascinating that they reported on. And then I ended up getting online, I confirmed this too. And this is in 2018, I think it was. Now I've forgotten the date. I think it was 2018. So it's standard weather satellite images, you know, about the United, you know, they take hundreds and hundreds of them every day. So they took a picture. And this is, I assume this is a geosynchronous satellite because the picture is fairly far away. You can see the entire globe. And on the picture is a contrail that goes from the north, from the South Pole to the North Pole. Now, you know what a contrail is? Or some people call them chemtrails, but they're actually contrails. That is, they're contrails because it stands for condensed water. That's what the con part stands for. So, when you're in a jet, and if the conditions are right with the temperatures and the moisture in the air, when the jet plows through the air and the exhaust from the jet engines actually creates a little cloud line, and you've all seen them. You've seen them all over the place. You know, you look up. The conditions have to be kind of right to do that. Doesn't happen every single time, but the thing is that you get a line in the air now. Contrails last at the maximum, they're only there for half an hour and usually only 15 minutes. So somebody figured out for this contrail, it's 13,000 miles from the South Pole to the North Pole. If so, for this contrail to exist intact for that entire amount of time, basically for 15 minutes, that thing had to be going 70,000 miles an hour. We have nothing, including space rockets that go as fast as 70,000 miles an hour. We have nothing that does that. I mean, that's, what is that? Mach, I think they said it was Mach 10 or Mach 15 or something like that. It's, you know, no. And the thing is, this thing is in the atmosphere because that's the only way you get a contrail. That's the only way you get one. So it's not in space, but it plowed through the atmosphere at 70,000 miles an hour. That's crazy. And you can still find this on YouTube. There's a video on YouTube that was shot from, I don't think it was from the International Space Station. I think it was from one of the space shuttles, I think. And the thing is, you see this little thing do an arc turn in space. And, you know, and of course, NASA says, oh, it's the ice crystals, you know, all sorts of shit, you know. But the thing is, you know, physicists have noted, and a lot of them have said, well, you can't do that sort of turn in space unless you have your own power source, unless you're on something that's powered. That doesn't happen naturally. It can't happen naturally. So in other words, that's a spaceship. That's the only, you know, that's the thing, the only way, said that's the only way you could do that happened. It's just little things like that. It's just, and they're kind of irrefutable. You know, the thing, the YouTube thing, well, there's no other way you could do that unless you have a power source attached to whatever is making the turn. Now, you can't actually see in the video. It's basically just a little light, you know, that does that. But you can't see it, what it is. But the thing is, like I said, it's physically impossible to do that unless you have a power source connected to whatever it is doing it. What do you say, you know? What do you say about guys who are in a submarine and someone passes them at 700 miles an hour underwater? What do you say about that? What do you say about a contrail from the north to the South Pole, half the distance around the Earth, that's there in one piece? You know, that you can still see the whole thing. They photographed the whole thing, you know, which means that whole thing happened in at the very most a half an hour and probably only 15 minutes. To go from the North to the South Pole. What do you say about shit like that? Okay, so what I said last night, I went through the reasons I did the show. I'm going to close on this tonight. And here's one of the reasons. Because I want you guys to get used to the fact that aliens are visiting Earth. And yeah, you can call me crazy. I don't care. I really don't give a fuck at this point. I just gave you three basically irrefutable pieces of evidence. They're small, and they're stuff people don't pay attention to. You know, not to mention, like I said, the hundreds and hundreds of government military documents that point to crashed extraterrestrial spacecraft. You know, I've said this before. I'll say it again. There's only one public document I know of that actually talks about aliens, and that's on the FBI at the FBI vault. You can go look it up. A bunch of, you know, there's special agents on the FBI. Are there regular agents? I don't really know. I don't know. All I know is Mulder and Scully are both special agents. That's all I knew. But they're agents, and they wrote back to the Home Office once and said, well, we got these three dead aliens, and we got this crashed extraterrestrial spacecraft. What do you want to do with them? You know, that's basically what the memo says. And the FBI for years says, oh, it's just a complete misunderstanding. You know, they didn't have any dead aliens. Oh, yeah, sure. What did they have? What do you got? You know, dead criminals? You know, it's like, why do they look different? I mean, how do you screw something like that up? You can't. But anyway, yeah, that's one of the reasons I'm doing this. Now, I don't understand this, but there's a lot of people who work in the military who have said to UFO researchers and investigators this is going beyond their security oath. They've said that supposedly in 2028, something's going to happen in 4 years from now. So we're just going to keep on the, I don't know if that's true or not. I don't know, but there's quite a few people who have stated this independently of each other. We'll see, you know, we'll see. But I don't know what that's going to be, but I want you guys to get used to the fact that the aliens are here, and they are. I don't know if they're living among us. I don't know. I mean, like I said, a lot of this is complete speculation, but they're coming to Earth. And people say, well, God, if they're coming to Earth, when do we see them? Yeah, here's the deal. There's a shitload of them. They're flying all over the place. They cloak, damn it. And apparently, the powers that be know this. It's been the government. I have read that people have said that yes, they know that. Supposedly the CIA has even figured out how they do it. They cloak their spacecraft. Their spacecraft are invisible, and I think they're flying all over the place. Because the thing is now, because everyone has a camera in their pocket. And like I said, I've said this before, the real amazing thing about the UFO thing is the local TV news crews who go out to shoot something on a farm or at the zoo or wherever they are outside. They're just outside doing something, and they'll put a camera up, you know, and just point it to the sky while they're, you know, and then they get back to they don't notice anything. They get back to the studio. They start to edit the footage, and holy shit, what is that? And apparently this happens like daily. All over the place, you know. So, yeah, that I'm sticking to my story. The extraterrestrials are coming to Earth. So I want you guys to get used to this because I don't know if there's going to be panic. I mean, it seems like at this point, I don't think there would be. Even the Catholic Church, the Vatican, has come out and has said they don't see any conflict between the fact that ETs would exist and their belief in Jesus Christ. And I don't either, because Jesus Christ is basically God on earth, God in man form. And so if you believe in God, he made the universe, and the universe has a lot of shit in it. So I don't mean that literally. There's a lot of stuff. I mean, the number of stars in our galaxy is apparently over a billion. And there's like billions of galaxies. I mean, it's mind-boggling. And we're just on some little outpost out here on the edge, you know, it's just hanging out. So that's my point here. That's what I want to get you guys used to. And so I'm going to keep talking about this UFO thing. I do not care if you think I'm crazy or not, because I tell you something, I'm right. Okay. I don't have it here. I showed it last night. My wife for a Christmas present brought me a blank notebook with a title that says Times. What does it say on the cover? The headline is Times I Was Right and Nobody Believed Me. And yep, she's right. Yeah. I'm not always right, but still, I'm right about that. I'm right about the UFO shit. And I'm staking my, that's my story, and I'm sticking to it. I want to thank you folks. I want to thank the people at Conk News. I'm going to put this up again for sponsoring us. It's great. Go check that out. You won't regret it. Great place to get your news, CONK.com. So I'm Jim Tucci Peters. I will be back tomorrow night. Santa's joining us. What the hell? Well, won't that be fun? Santa in January. So we'll find out what he's up to. And good night, Esperanza. Good night, Uncle Donnie. And good night to you, wherever you are. Thanks for watching, everybody. Appreciate it. We'll see you tomorrow night.